Well, 3 weeks ago, I said that this season before Christmas and the season of Christmas itself can sometimes be like an unresolved musical chord. There can be this strange dissonance between stress and peace and fear and hope, conflict and love, weariness and joy. This season has a way of digging up everything in our lives. Whatever is there deep inside, it all seems to kind of come to the surface during this season. And since Advent means coming, we recognize that this season is also about the dissonance of living in between Jesus' first coming and his second coming. We anticipate celebrating Jesus' birth, living in a world where things still are not as they should be, all the while hoping and looking for that day when Christ comes again and makes everything right once and for all. So the question that has captured all of this for us this year has been this: how does a weary world rejoice? How does a weary world rejoice? In the midst of the pain or the grief, or the anxiety, or the uncertainty, or anything else that makes us weary, how do we still rejoice at the birth of God with us, of a Savior King? How do we hold joy too? And so we've looked at the overlapping stories of Elizabeth and Zechariah and Mary and John and Jesus, because they are stories that have both joy and weariness right there at the surface. The first week, we talked about how a weary world rejoices when we acknowledge our weariness. The second week, we talked about that a weary world rejoices when we discover joy in connection. Then last week, we talked about a weary world rejoicing when we allow ourselves to be amazed. Today, we finish up this series thinking about a weary world rejoicing by singing stories of hope and love. Let us pray. God, open our hearts and minds to your word for us this day. We pray that it would take root there, grow us, transform us, that we might live for you and might bear fruit for your kingdom. This we pray through Christ our Lord. Amen. Our reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Luke, Chapter 1, verses 46 through 55, and then 67 through 79. Listen for God's word. Mary said, "With all my heart I glorify the Lord. In the depths of who I am, I rejoice in God my Savior. He has looked with favor on the low status of his servant. Look, from now on, everyone will consider me highly favored, because the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. He shows mercy to everyone from one generation to the next who honors him as God. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered those with arrogant thoughts and proud inclinations. He has pulled the powerful down from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty-handed. He has come to the aid of his servant Israel, remembering his mercy, just as he promised to our ancestors, to Abraham and to Abraham's descendants forever. John's father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, 'Bless the Lord God of Israel, because he has come to help and has delivered his people. He has raised up a mighty Savior for us in his servant David's house, just as he said through the mouths of his prophets long ago. He has brought salvation from our enemies and from the power of all those who hate us. He has shown the mercy promised to our ancestors and remembered his holy covenant, the solemn pledge he made to our ancestor Abraham. He has granted that we would be rescued from the power of our enemies so that we could serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness in God's eyes, for as long as we live. You, child, will be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his way. You will tell his people how to be saved through the forgiveness of their sins. Because of our God's deep compassion, the dawn from heaven will break upon us to give light to those who are sitting in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide us on the path of peace.' This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God." There is something powerful about songs and stories in our lives. Families tell stories that pass through generations and keep important memories alive, right? We all know that story told hundreds of times that nevertheless always seems to be told again when folks gather together. Have I ever told you the story of yes, yes? We all know what it's like to have a song stuck in our head too, especially this time of year when Mariah Carey's All I Want for Christmas Is You is literally everywhere. And I don't know about you, but I can remember songs that I learned when I was a child that have stuck with me. I remember an Advent song that I learned when I was a child that I now sing with my boys. Light one candle for hope, one bright candle for hope. He brings hope to every heart. He comes, he comes. And that song over the years has reminded me, even in the midst of the busyness and the hustle and bustle, of what Christ's coming was all about. I think about the power of singing songs in memory care units and how even people who have lost their capacity to remember well light up or start miraculously singing or tapping along with White Christmas or Silent Night. Singing songs and telling stories help us to remember, and they produce joy. But there is weariness. And here's what I've noticed about weariness. When I'm weary, I'm forgetful. When I'm weary from pain or grief or worry, I don't remember things as well. It's like weariness makes us start to exhibit some symptoms of amnesia. When we're weary, we can forget the goodness and grace that surrounds us. When we're weary, we can forget God's promises. When we're weary, we might overlook God's faithfulness. When we're weary, we can forget how to be thankful. When we're weary, we often forget to root ourselves in God's love instead of our circumstances. And on top of that, we try to go it alone. When we're weary, we often gravitate to the first siren song that promises us joy again, even if the lyrics tell us that it's something that we need to buy or consume first. Weariness can make it harder for joy to get a foothold. Maybe we need to sing more songs and tell more stories of hope and love. Isn't it interesting that both Mary and Zechariah burst forth into a song of hope and love? When their weariness is met with the beautiful reality of what God was doing in their lives and how God was showing up, they sing. When Mary is given space by Elizabeth and experiences Elizabeth's blessing over her, Mary begins to sing. When Zechariah names his son John and his mouth is open to be able to speak, he sings. And they are songs of hope and love because hope in God's love is precisely what gives joy a foothold. I kept having this image in my mind this week as I was writing this sermon, and I drew it in my journal, and I'll put it up here so you guys can see it. Yeah. The ground is God's faithful love, the tree is hope, and the fruit on the branches is joy. Hope rooted in God's faithful love bears forth joy even in our weariness. Hope rooted in God's faithful love bears forth joy even in our weariness. Mary and Zechariah sing stories of God's hope grounded in God's faithful love, which carries forth their joy. There's joy in their words because of what God has done, because of what God is doing, and because of what God will do. Listen to the hope rooted in God's faithful love that saturates Mary's song. He has looked with favor on my low status. He has done great things for me. He shows mercy to everyone from one generation to the next. He has shown strength with his arm. He has pulled down the powerful and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things. He has come to Israel's aid. He has remembered his mercy just as he promised to our ancestors. You hear it? Mary is singing this hope-filled narrative about God that is all about God's faithful love, and it produces joy. No wonder she can rejoice in God, her Savior. Listen to the hope rooted in God's faithful love that saturates Zechariah's song. Listen to how similar it is to Mary's. He has come to help and has delivered his people. He has raised up a mighty Savior for us, just as he said through his prophets. He has brought salvation from our enemies. He has shown the mercy promised our ancestors. He has remembered his covenant. He has granted that we would be rescued from the power of our enemies. Because of God's compassion, the dawn from heaven will break upon us, giving light to those sitting in darkness. You hear it? Zechariah is singing this hope-filled narrative about God that is all about God's faithful love. And it produces joy. No wonder he can bless the Lord. A weary world rejoices by singing stories of hope and love. Now, all of this got me thinking about the power of singing stories of hope for the Black community. Because I recently went to the Equal Justice Initiative Legacy Museum in Montgomery, Alabama, and it's a powerful museum that offers a very immersive journey through America's history of racial injustice, telling the story of Black experience from slave trade to mass incarceration, as the museum narrates it. And one of the most palpable themes for me when I was there was the complete dehumanization that took place. Like at every stage, people of color were dehumanized and treated as something less than human. And I cannot even begin to fathom like the collective and multi-generational weariness and trauma from constantly and systematically being treated this way. And yet, one of the points the museum also made was that there were ways that they sought to sustain a sense of personhood and dignity and identity nevertheless. Like they found ways to ensure that no dark depth of evil could ever snuff out their experience of resilient and humanizing joy. And so singing songs of hope was one such way, for particularly for Black Christians. Right? If you look at many African American spirituals, they tell stories of pain and hope. Many of them connect a hoped for future of God's deliverance to God's faithful deliverance of Israel from slavery in Egypt in the past. And these songs carry with them a kind of joy as resistance to despair. Stony the road we trod, bitter the chastening rod, felt in the days when hope unborn had died. Yet with a steady beat have not our weary feet come to the place for which our fathers sighed. We have come over a way with the tears been watered. We have come treading our path through the blood of the slaughtered. Out from the gloomy past till now we stand at last where the white gleam of our bright star is cast. God of our weary years, God of our silent tears, thou who hast brought us thus far on the way, thou who hast by thy might led us into the light, keep us forever in the path. We pray. That's James Weldon Johnson. Lift every voice and sing. And so there is something real and powerful about singing and telling stories of hope that gives way for joy, even in the midst of weariness. There's a bird in Europe called the chaffinch. And in Europe, this bird has become a very popular house pet. The bird looks somewhat like a robin, but sings like a canary. And there's some strange things about these birds. And one is that if a wild chaffinch is not exposed to the adult male's song during a certain developmental period after hatching, it will never learn the song. For the birds that become house pets then, once or twice a year, their owners must take them out into the wild in their cages so they can hear the song of the wild chaffinch. If this doesn't occur, the birds begin to mope and grow despondent, and eventually, if they lose their song, they literally lose their life. They have to sing their song in order to live. Friends, we sing songs or tell stories of hope and love so that our joy and our faith don't wither under weariness. We too must sing songs of hope in order to truly live. If weariness can make us forgetful, then singing stories of hope can awaken joy as we remember God's past faithful love. And I think it's just one of the reasons why singing Christmas songs together is just so powerful. So if you find yourself today weary, stressed, heavy laden, acquainted with sorrow, and yet confronted with all the excitement and all of the joy of this season, the good news of God being born among us in Jesus Christ, I wonder what story, what song of hope you need to hear or sing. Is there a story, is there a song that is all about God's faithful love that is there somewhere deep in your heart that you need to hear or listen to again right now? One of my personal Christmas traditions that's emerged over the last few years, kind of organically, has been to pull the car into the driveway after being somewhere at night and just to sit there and look at the lights on our house while listening to O Holy Night by myself in the car. In the weariness that can creep in from being a pastor in this season, hearing that song and the hope and the love of which it sings always does the job of cultivating joy in me. So is there a song, is there a story that you need to sing or tell yourself or others? What would your version of Mary's song sound like? With all my heart, I glorify the Lord. God has... ... What would your rendition of Zechariah's chorus be? Bless the Lord God of Israel because he... How would you talk about God's faithful love in your life that gives you hope? How would you speak of God's deliverance, God's promises, God's presence? What would be the verses of your story of love and hope? What would you sing or tell that would be the branches on which joy could blossom even in a season of weariness? Sing it, tell it, hear it. Because there is something so powerful about songs and stories in our lives. And there certainly are a lot of songs and a lot of singing in the first chapter of Luke's gospel. Mary sings. Zechariah sings. Angels sing. Simeon sings. Songs of hope grounded in God's faithful love. And so as we acknowledge our weariness, as we find joy and connection, as we allow ourselves to be amazed, may we also add our voices to their songs, singing stories of hope so that even in the weariness, we might yet rejoice. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen.